This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 4th, 2021. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. During the pandemic, many of us have turned to messaging apps and other online communications platforms to stay in touch with our families, our friends, and our colleagues. But what happens when those apps are used to censor speech and suppress dissenting views? We report that in China, the government has been using the popular app WeChat to do just that. Our reporter Jing Yang will join us to explain what's going on after these headlines. We're learning more about the Russia-linked SolarWinds hack that compromised several U.S. corporate and government systems. Late last week, Microsoft said it had also been breached. The company said the hackers were able to access its internal systems and view source code, which is used to build software products. A spokesman for Microsoft declined to say what products or internal systems were impacted, but the company said it's found no evidence of access to production services or customer data. Russia has denied responsibility for the attack. Tesla says it delivered a record number of vehicles in 2020, just under 500,000. That's up from around 367,000 the year before, but still just short of its goal of 500,000 vehicles for the year. Tesla had to temporarily close its California factory, its only car plant in the U.S., when local authorities imposed restrictions on businesses to slow the spread of the virus. Investors are taking the news as another sign of Tesla's resilience during the pandemic, which has reduced road travel and caused global auto sales to take a hit. And the New York Stock Exchange is delisting China's three big telecom carriers after the U.S. government barred Americans from investing in companies it says help the Chinese military. The exchange's decision is not likely to seriously harm the telecom giants in the near term, since the U.S. makes up a negligible amount of their international business. But the move is the latest chapter in what's been a fraught relationship between the U.S. and China, back and forth that's often caught tech companies in the crossfire. All right, coming up after the break, how WeChat has become a powerful tool for government censorship in China. That's next. We report that in China, the government has been tightening its grip on the popular app WeChat. The app has become one of the most powerful tools in Beijing's arsenal for monitoring the public, censoring speech, and punishing people who voice discontent with the government. Dissidents, consumers, and security researchers say authorities there are increasingly using the app to justify arrests or issue threats. Our reporter Jing Yang has been looking into this, and she joins me from Hong Kong to explain. Jing, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So can you just start by telling us about WeChat? What is this app?
So WeChat was launched in 2011 by Chinese tech company Tencent, which also is the world's largest video game company by revenue. And Tencent launched WeChat in 2011 mostly as an instant messaging app, but it just swept across China very quickly. Throughout the years, WeChat has added a lot of features, and it basically has become this app that took over life in China. It has extended way beyond messaging. You can use it to get news, do shopping, even playing some mini games, and hail a taxi, or even book doctor appointments. There's just a variety of functions. And now it has 1.2 billion monthly active users, the vast majority of them in China. It has also become China's go-to example of technology innovation. Some of the functions that WeChat developed have also been nodded by Silicon Valley peers, such as the voice messaging function and this QR code-based payment.
And around the world, we've seen a lot of tech companies really growing in popularity during the pandemic. Has WeChat also seen a big uptick in use?
Yes, absolutely. Just like many other apps around the world, WeChat has definitely received a major boost simply because people have to rely a lot on digital communication, such as remote learning and working. And WeChat has also this other app called WeChat Work, which is developed for companies and enterprises, which can be integrated with the WeChat app itself. To give you a sense of the surging popularity of WeChat during the pandemic, so Tencent released some statistics that shows in the first quarter, governments, businesses, and individuals used the WeChat QR code more than 140 billion times. And a QR code, a WeChat QR code is used when you make payments or when you log on to different devices or accounts.
And you report that China has actually been tightening its grip on WeChat. What is the government using it to do?
So WeChat as the predominant communication platform and platform for dissemination of news and information, it has also come under very tight scrutiny by the government, mostly because as one of the main ways for the government to censor and suppress speech and dissenting political views. This is, I think, the easiest way to imagine this will be, this is like the physical equivalent of intervening in demonstrations that have see the most number of people gather. So when you see certain topics and discussions or discourse gather a lot of traffic on a certain platform, it became the natural place for the government to intervene and censor or suppress discussions. You know, based on a lot of research reports and a lot of users I spoke to, WeChat was one of the main ways that the government used to control speech and censor sensitive content, or what they deem sensitive content during the pandemic.
And we should note here, a spokesman for Tencent declined to comment, and China's government didn't respond to requests for comment. Jing, you spoke to some WeChat users. What did they tell you about how this is impacting them?
Yeah. So I spoke to a lot of users who shared with me their experiences dealing with rampant censorship on WeChat and sometimes even surveillance as well. To give you some examples, we remember in the early outbreak of the coronavirus in China's Wuhan, I think one of the first natural reactions for people in China is that we're going to share this piece of news with our friends and family. And then WeChat became the go-to way for them to share that. And then you also have a lot of news reports circulating on all kinds of WeChat platforms. Then quickly, users found that, you know, their content was either censored or in some extreme cases, their own accounts were blocked. And having your WeChat blocked is a huge deal in China, because that means you're cut off communications with your friends, your colleagues, even your, say, business clients. You can get, you know, another account either by, you know, registering with a different mobile number or some other ways, but then you have to basically manually add back all that contacts you have already accumulated. For people, that is a very awkward thing. It could be a very awkward thing to do, because people were like, then why didn't your WeChat work anymore? And then if you're telling people, okay, my WeChat just got blocked, that's just like telling people you have dissenting political views, and that could be frowned upon in China.
And it might seem like a silly question, but why don't they just leave the platform?
That is a great question. What happened early last year in the early outbreak of the pandemic was that you see an increasing number of reports of people complaining that WeChat was blocked for simply criticizing the government handling of this public health crisis. And then earlier last year, what happened was a group of WeChat users banded together and started this campaign called Free from WeChat, because they felt that they were just fed up with the censorship and the speech suppression on the platform. And then they've been calling out like-minded users to migrate to other platforms such as Telegram and Signal, which they believe are free of Chinese government intervention. I talked to some of the members of this group. Basically, that campaign was very short-lived for two reasons. First is that it's just simply almost impossible to call people, what we say, within the Great Firewall of China to leave the firewall, because anything they publish that touches the subject will be quickly censored. It may sound a bit ironic, but in order for them to disseminate, to advocate for people to leave WeChat, one of the channels they relied on sending out, spreading the word, was also WeChat. They posted their campaign posters on WeChat, which they found out was quickly censored, including their own, you know, WeChat channels were also censored quickly. And then that's the first reason. And the second reason is just, even I spoke to some of the members of the group, even they were under no illusion that they could completely do without the app. What they were trying to do and trying to tell others to do was to try to reduce your usage of this app, try to not become so reliant on it and be conscious of the hazard that WeChat's convenience comes with. So because just imagine if you are living in China, and I can't think of anyone, maybe possibly with very rare exception, that everyone around you, everyone you talk to, everyone you need to communicate with is on WeChat. That could be your family, your friends, your colleagues, your clients, and even say your cleaning lady or a delivery man. And that is just pervasive. This has been called as a network effect. You know, if everyone around you is on it, you've got to be on it too. And then if no one's getting out of it, how can you possibly get out of it?
Yeah, and I imagine a campaign like the one you mentioned comes with some pretty big risks, too, even though it sounds like the group's push to get people to leave WeChat wasn't all that successful.
You know, the Free From WeChat group is, they call themselves digital immigrants. Basically, you know, people who try to immigrate their digital life out of the Great Firewall of China. And to give you an example of sort of the depth and what and width of censorship and suppression running on WeChat, I think the group's own story says it all. They only managed to convince, I think, a few hundred people to join Telegram. And in the meantime, bear in mind, these people did not completely give up WeChat. They were just like reducing their usage. But quickly enough, some of the members were quickly being called into question by local police. And they had to convince the public security officials that there's just absolutely no political motive in their movement, in their campaign. They were just unhappy with WeChat and with the censorship. And then they were released. However, in the ensuing months, almost throughout the rest of the year last year, they and their families were still under surveillance by the public security officials. And then they were often still intermittently called into meetings and being questioned, even though their movement had died out months before.
All right, that's our reporter, Jing Yang. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.